Chassidus explains, Tzemach Tzadik in Derech Mitzvah explains the Medrash of Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Ches. When Hashem wanted to go create the world, Emes Amar Al Yibari, truth said it shouldn't be created. Why? Shekulei Mali Shkarim, because existence is filled with falsehood. So the literal interpretation is that our world is filled with liars. But Chassidus abstracts it to a deeper level. Says Emes is the real story, the real perspective of what reality is from a pre-tzimtzum, from a pre-eclipse point of view. So, emes amar al yibari shekulei malishkarim. Not because there's people going to lie. The very fact that the world will say that it exists is a sheker. Emes can't tolerate it. And what happened? It was thrown to the ground. Hadu udiksiv emes me'eretz titzmach. And we'll soon see how the Alter Rebbe interprets that. The Kotzke Rebbe said on Emes Meretz Tzitzmach was thrown to the ground that what as the Emes ligt bagrab and tif in the earth. That the truth lay buried deep in the earth. But here we'll talk to see the Alter Rebbe's interpretation. That this Emes is to be found in earth. But one moment, which is the big revolution here. So the worlds evolved one from another. Basically, every concealment produces another type of world, another type of philosophy. Mer zich und weniger Gott. Every level of evolution is more I and less the source. And on many levels. However, all of the higher worlds are defined by the fact that they don't have an ego. Which means the concealment relatively is not so powerful in the sense that they experience their source and they know that the only reality of reality is godliness. But then something happened. Ah, till in the process of evolution came the last step. This culminated in the creation of this physical coarse world. Zogd Alter Rebbe, v'hu ha-tachtoin b'madrega. This world, our world, is the lowest in degree. It stands on the lowest rung of the ladder of evolution of all of the worlds. She'ein tachtoin l'mata mimenu. There is none lower than it. Be'inyin hester oida yizbarech in terms of concealment of his energy. No world compares with it for the doubled and redoubled darkness that characterizes our world. Ah, to the extent, so much so, that our world is filled with klipos and sitra achera, with total cover-ups, and the other realm, the unholy realm, Shehi Neged Hashem Mamish, which actually oppose Hashem Mamish, Loimar, by declaring, Ani va'afsi yoid, I am, and there is nothing else besides me. So here's Agdal Tereb, the last stage in the long evolution. That stage where the garments and the veils and the curtains are awesomely powerful and almost endlessly powerful. This is, he says, tachtin shein, tachtin lamatim emenu. As far as concealment of the truth, you can't get any more. Because in our world, there's only darkness, doubled and redoubled darkness. You see nothing in this world. And if you realize, he discusses this world itself in various facets and levels. The first element about characterizing our world is it totally conceals the fact that there's a God. It does not reveal him in any way. Nothing in our world vividly bespeaks its creator. Vividly. Any higher world, as much as the garments exist, Olam Eloshen Halim, there's concealment in all of them. They bespeak the fact that they're fueled, they're animated, they're invigorated, they're inspired continuously by the divine absolute reality, which is reality, and there's nothing independent of it. There are various levels. How much is seen, how little is seen, how much identity there is in these worlds, and so forth. Here, in our world, nothing is seen whatsoever. You can walk your whole life and live for 80, 90, 100 years. And not once will it cross your mind that this world is nothing but godliness. It has no reality outside of the divine energy. There's no definition to reality outside of the divine reality. It won't even cross your mind. Nothing says it. The cars don't bespeak it. Our bodies don't bespeak it. The foods don't bespeak it. Our careers don't bespeak it. Nothing in this world bespeaks the truth. But das ist der Chnisch, das für der Alte Rebbe, nu, kann man nach Meichel sein. He goes even on. That's the next step. Not only does this world not reveal its truth, this world denies the truth, opposes the truth. Not just to diminish the significance of godliness, to totally deny it, and to say, I exist and nothing else exists. You know, there's sometimes you'll say, there's an expression, "Aligin terminer zagen, aber dem emes darf man nicht allem anders sagen," which means you're not never allowed to utter a lie under any circumstances, very extreme circumstances. But the truth, you also don't always have to say. You don't always have to tell everyone the whole truth. You don't have to. So there's the fact that the world doesn't say the truth. The world doesn't bespeak the truth. But then there's another element. The world lies. There are elements in this world, creatures, characters, that can come up with a philosophy, aniva afsioid. Not just, I don't project godliness. I say that I am and there is nothing else besides me. So this world, what was created here, is not just an agnostic world, which is bad enough. An atheistic world was created. And this is the paradox of what is going on. Nothing changed as a result of creation. Hashem is the only thing existing before and the only thing existing now. The only definition of reality is godly reality. That's the only true energy. And the only true energy in this world at this moment. And nevertheless, on this very block, or in this very, not in this very room at the moment, but possibly in this very room, and in every crevice of our universe, there can be people and philosophies and books and advertisements and commercials and shows and novels and essays and emails that are declaring aniva afsioit. And not only not einoid milvadi, there's him and there's none else beside him. Diametrically opposed. There is me and there's nothing else besides me. Exact opposite. So this is Tachtoinim. This is a Tachtoinim with which the Alter Rebbe began the chapter. Tachtoinim doesn't mean worlds in which Hashem is not present. Hashem is present everywhere. The only definition of everywhere is Hashem. Hashem being present everywhere is not the real thing. The only definition of everywhere is Hashem. In other words, the Alter Rebbe is telling us it's not Hashem is everywhere. The only is Hashem. If there's isness, it's Hashem. So Tachtonim doesn't mean worlds which Hashem is unknown, which means in which Hashem is not unpresent. It means worlds in which Hashem is unknown. Again, from his perspective, it's not a Tachtin. Elyon Tachtin, it's exactly the same. But from our perspective, Elyonim are those worlds that express a greater truth. And tachtoinim are those worlds where the truth is more eclipsed. And what's the greatest tachtoin? Our world where the truth is absolutely eclipsed. Come, our sages, and make a powerful revolutionary declaration that the purpose of everything is Hashem wanted adira b'tachtoinim. It's all about the tachtoinim. That's where the objective and goal of everything lie. Zogdal Terebbe, now here the next stage. Till now he discussed a brief history of time. Now he goes into the brief purpose of time. This is the facts. Now, what is the purpose in all of this? So, now, Tachlis ishtal shalos ha'olam is viridasim madrega l'madrega. The purpose of the evolution of the worlds and of their descent from level to level. Einoy b'shvil olam ishal yoinim is not for the sake of the higher worlds. Farvas ha'yil v'lehem yiridim me'er panav yizbarech. Since for them this constitutes a descent, a degradation from the energy of his blessed intimacy. Ha'yil v'lehem yiridim zogdal tereb. The purpose is the highest worlds. Their explosive revelation of godliness is really one big dark concealment. The greatest world, the most spiritually profound world, pales in comparison with the revelation of godliness that existed before they were created. Before the world was there, before, take Atzilus. Atzilus is a world of closeness, intimacy with Hashem. Atzilus is the purpose. So that's the purpose. It's a total yirida. It's a yirida, it's a total descent from what was going on. Before Atzilus was created, it was Geven Geret. That's when reality was booming. So you can say that the purpose of the descent and of the degree, of the evolution, of the chain-like descent of all the worlds is for the higher worlds where godliness is totally revealed, because that's losing the opportunity that truth should be revealed for a revelation that's absolutely inferior to it. So it's absurd to say that the ultimate goal of the whole process is that we should remain in a state which is defined by a veil and by a curtain and by a concealment. Zogdal Terebbe. So what does this bring him to? Ela ha-tachlus ha-oilam ha-za-tachtam. So the purpose of the whole Ishtalshalus is this lowest world. This is not a yirida. One of the Rebbes expresses himself. He says, this world is not a yirida. Yirida means something descended. The higher worlds are defined by divinity. It's just the divine light descended to a lower level. This world is defined by darkness. There's no light here. It's a new creation. It's not a yirida. Nothing descended. A metamorphosized situation of absolutely new dimensions and definitions has been introduced into this world. It's not a yiridim, a panavis baruch. The evolving to the next level, to a lower level characterized by more veils. It's a whole new creation, a creation of darkness. So, but this is the purpose. But what can be the purpose? It's even worse than the Olam HaSal Yainim. At least there, the truth is somewhat conspicuous. Somewhat. Here it's absolutely concealed. Zogdal Terebbe, Shekach, Ala Bertzayni Yizbarech. For such was his will, Yisnachas Ruach Lefanav Yizbarech, that he found it pleasurable. It was his will that he should find pleasurable. Kadeskaf Yisitra Achirev Yishapach HaSheichel Lenahirah. When the Sitra Acher is subjugated to holiness and the darkness is transformed into light. Sheyoyir Eir Hashem Ein Sof Baruch Hu. B'makem Acheshech V'Sitra Acher Shal Kol Olam Hazakuloi. That the energy of the Ein Sof shall shine forth in the place of the darkness and Sitra Acher prevailing throughout this entire world. B'yeser se'ez v'yeser eis, with greater strength and greater intensity. V'yisnen oir min achoshech, and with the superior quality of light that emerges from the darkness. May ha'arasai ba'olam esal yainim, greater than the divine radiance in the higher worlds. Shemeyu sham, because there in the higher worlds the Ein Sof shines, ayyidei levushim vehester ponim, through garments and through concealment of his intimacy. Hamastirim umalim imer Ein Sof baruchu, these garments and layers conceal and screen the energy of the Ein Sof, Shelo Yibotlu B'Metzius, so that the worlds do not dissolve out of existence. So there the energy of the Ein Sof comes forth with many veils. The Prep Shem wanted that his energy should shine forth in this lowly world with his Sitra Achira, which will be in a much greater fashion than in the higher worlds, because it's the light that comes out of darkness. So the Alter Rebbe began with saying the purpose was this world because he desired to have pleasure from ishapcha, from transformation. Obviously, in the supernal worlds, there's nothing to transform because they're good and they're godly. It's just the problem there is that it's a contracted level of divine energy. It's restricted. But it's light, it's luminescent, it's divinity, it's egoless. So what are you going to do to it? So basically, you're stuck with a yirida. You can't do anything there because it's ayur, it's godly. It's just an obscured level of ayur, so there's nothing to do there really. But with the product is complete in its own form. Here we're dealing with darkness. And there begins a process of transformation. Of transforming. You can't transform light. You could transform darkness. So here is the beginning of the Aliyah. There's a Yerida. Here begins the Aliyah, the way up. You hit rock bottom and now you're on your way up. But you're on your way up to what? You still have a Yerida, even a greater Yerida, when this world is not Atzilus. So the Alter Rebbe says that here, the energy can shine without any garments, much more than in the higher worlds. So one moment. So what is the Alter Rebbe saying? That the ultimate objective of creation lies in our earthbound existence. Hashem desired that there be a realm that is lowly and distant from Him, a world that is inhospitable to His presence, a mundane physical world, and man should transform this world into a dira for Him, which means into an abode for His manifest presence. So all the spiritual worlds were created so that they yield and they evolve into this physical world, which Hashem desired to have a residence there. In other words, it should become a dwelling that houses and expresses His manifest presence. But what is He saying? What is it about this world that constitutes the ultimate purpose? There's a story that is sometimes brought to explain this a little bit. The Baal Shem Tov once interpreted the pasuk in Tehillim Kuv Beis, "Tfilah la'ani chiyatif, v'lifnei Hashem yishpech sichei," which literally means a prayer of the poor man when he swoons and pours forth his supplications before Hashem. So it's a prayer of the poor man. The Baal Shem Tov interpreted it, that when the poor man prays, he pours out his heart before Hashem. He talks to Hashem. A wealthy man doesn't talk to Hashem. Who does he talk to? He writes a check for Hashem. So there's a metaphor given for this, based on a metaphor the Baal Shem Tov once gave that's quoted in Eir HaMeir, authored by Reb Ze'ev Wolf of Zhytomyr, a student of the Baal Shem Tov in Parashas Vayishlach. There was once a king who was extremely beloved, cherished, reigned over a huge country with extraordinary skill and kindness. And he announced to all of his subjects, the whole nation, that at one specific day in some 6 months, the portals of the palace will be opened for 12 hours, that every woman, man, and child of his nation and country can come visit him personally and request whatever he or she desires. People were overjoyed dancing in the streets. Usually it takes years to get an appointment with the king, and you have to go through all the red tape and bureaucracy and so forth till you finally get in, and most ordinary people can never make it into the king. And here the king allows everyone to come in one day without any permission, without any guards, without any, no preparations. That day, more than 1 million people arrive to the capital, eagerly awaiting their few seconds or moments or minutes with the king himself, his majesty. The personal chamber of the king was on the 7th floor in the palace. On the 1st floor, he set up the tables with the most delicious food in the world. He summoned the greatest chefs of his country to cook up the most delicious, exquisitely looking delicacies in the world. The 2nd floor, he set up the most delicious wines in the world and all types of alcoholic beverages. The 3rd floor, he got the greatest musicians of the whole country to play the most heartwarming, soul-stirring music. The 4th floor, he displayed all of the books and manuscripts of the palace and of the archives of the palace. The 5th, an art gallery of all the pieces of art that the king had for hundreds of years. And finally, on the 6th floor, a display of all the diamonds, gold and silver and diamonds existing in the archives of the palace. And the 7th floor sat the king himself. People started to come. You come into the 1st floor. Ah! Azam meal. The aroma. The odor. The setup. It wasn't a smorgasbord. It was the smorgasbord of history. You had to sit down for a meal. So they began sitting and digging it in. But when you finish with one table, you see what's going on the next table. You have to be insensitive to refuse it. You have to totally not get it. They went to the next table and so forth. Finally, those that finished here went to the next floor. Gewahl, the best wines that existed. Best wines. Whether it was Zinfandel or Moscato d'Asti or Riesling or Chianto and so forth. It was all there. From one bottle to another bottle to another bottle. And you know, alcoholic beverages are enticing and tempting. And a lot of people began to drink and drink and remain there already. Finally, there were those who went up to the next floor. If you had a soul and you heard the music, you couldn't detach yourself from there. You couldn't. You had to remain there. Such beautiful music. And finally, with those who made it to the 4th floor, if you were a scholar of any level, you had her books and manuscripts that you were looking for years. And here it was all there. You had to read. The scholars, the illiterates, the smart, wise, intelligent authors saw this. They couldn't detach themselves from it. They read and read and read. And then finally, the 5th floor, the art. Anyone with a shtickel neshama, with a shtickel mind, with a shtickel heart, was glued, was mesmerized, was overwhelmed, drowned in the overwhelming art of the moment. And then on the 6th floor, you had diamonds, the aristocracy, the royalty, the richness was mind staggering. Everyone found himself somewhere and got stuck somewhere. The 12 hours passed. The bells ringed. And everyone suddenly awoke from their ecstatic slumber. Said, Gewalt, no one made it into the king. No one. Besides one guy. One guy. A peasant. A total illiterate, lowly, poverty-stricken farmer who had no penny to his name. Was as unsophisticated as a human being can be, was as simple, as crude, as brute as one can be. His daily nourishment was a hard piece of bread and a cup of water. He didn't even imagine or know about anything better. But he heard that the king is accepting everyone, and he had some requests. So he arrived to the palace. He comes into the first floor. He sees a lot of food. He was very hungry, but he was not the soul that can even begin to appreciate the beauty of it. So he took a large piece of beef, some vegetables, some rice, and he ate. He was satiated. Next, the second floor, he saw some drinks. He was thirsty. He took a drink. He couldn't even begin to appreciate the various wines and beverages and so forth. He took a drink. He went to the third floor. Music. He was music deaf. He was tone deaf. He was totally coarse on every level. He goes to the fourth floor. Books. He's illiterate. He can't read. So it's not for him. The fifth floor. Art. He was art blind. He wasn't physically blind, but art meant nothing to him. You know, there's some people, they can go to, for some people, museums are beautiful, and for some people, museums are concentration camps. I mean, it's the most boring place in the world. So it was the most boring thing for him. He went to the sixth floor. He said, okay, nice gold, silver, diamonds. I mean, it's not his. A gatewriter. He's not Lahavdalia. I stand corrected. Thank you. And the sixth floor was also not too appealing to him, so he went straight into the king, and he spent all around 11 and a half hours with the king himself, for all of his personal requests and so forth. Zagde Baal Shem Tov, Tfilo La'ani Chiyatev Lifnei Hashem Yishbichsich. The poor man talks to God. Poor and wealthy, not in physical terms. Poor and wealthy in spiritual terms. There is the divine taste, the first floor. There is Hashem's aroma, the second floor. There is Hashem's music, the third floor. There's Hashem's wisdom, the fourth floor. Hashem's art, the fifth floor. Hashem's luminescence and royalty, the sixth floor. And then there's Hashem himself. All of the higher worlds, because of their sensitivity to spirituality, because of their sensitivity, they grasp, they're captivated, they're overwhelmed by the aristocracy, by the wisdom, by the beauty, by the infinity of godliness, by the majesty of Hashem, by His expression. That's what captures them, that's what captivates them. They get stuck there. Because of their sensitivity to spirituality. What the Alter Rebbe is saying here is paradoxically, it is the very darkness, in some very weird way, it's the very darkness that characterizes our world, that because of that, our world can become a world where there is no Yirida, where the real truth becomes present. What's the nature of our world? Over here we feel nothing. Nothing spiritual captivates us. We're totally remote. We're totally insensitive. So this world goes to the king. This world goes to the king because it's so dark. The nakedness of our world is the greatest receptacle for the nakedness of the divine intimacy. Our simplicity, not the refinement, not the spirituality, the bruteness, the vulgarity, the coarseness, the lowliness, the absolute darkness of our world, that it expresses nothing. It reveals nothing. There's no spiritual royalty and majesty and wisdom and art and music and luminescence. So this world can have the essence. The essence of essences without any veils. The most non-transcendental place of Hashem's creation is the most powerful vehicle, the most ideal vehicle for Hashem's essence. Yes, this world constitutes, the Alter Rebbe says, the greatest concealment of the divine truth. But that was his desire, that the material world, with its virtual blackout on any revealed expression of godliness, can be transformed into a home where his all-pervading reality is expressed. A home which becomes hospitable to his intimate presence. The Alter Rebbe, let's conclude with another word. Father. Yeah? Yeah. There can only be bechira in this world. You can make choices, define reality in other terms. Huh? No. The Alter Rebbe, Chassidus explains on Gemara and Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Aflamat Chesam and Beis, that when Hashem wanted to create man, the angels told Hashem, Ma enosh kisiskirenu, who are you creating? Hashem said man. So the angels said, what are his deeds? Hashem describes what people will be like. Ma enosh kisiskirenu, what do you need this for? What do you need the headache of humanity? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, what did Hashem do? Hoshit etzboye haktana b'neim v'sarfon. Hashem stretched out his small pinky between them and burnt them, consumed them. What does this mean? What, he took revenge? I mean, they were trying to be on his side. They were trying to be helpful. They said it's just going to be a headache. So that's how you reward them? Amachai, he puts in his pinky between them and he burns them. And he, what is he asking them for? Very good. So the Marshal explains what he explains symbolically. Alter Rebbe in the Torah Drushim L'Rosh Hashanah says Azai. Sefer Yetzir writes in Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, Eser Sviros Beli Ma Etzbois Chamesh Keneged Chamesh. The 10 fingers correspond to the 10 spheres. As the commentators of Sefer Yetzirah explain, the right hand is a channel for the 5 masculine spheres. Chachma, Das, Chesed, Tiferes, Netzach. The left, 5 left fingers correspond and are channels, are conduits for the 5 feminine spheres. Bina, Gvura, Hoyd, Yisoid, Malchus. Etzboi, Haktana, a small pinky, is the 10th little pinky, Malchus, which is the lowest level of the first world, the lowest level of the divine emanations through the spheres. Hashem wasn't taking revenge from the angels, he was responding to the angels. This was his answer. He placed Malchus in their midst. He exposed, he stripped, not Yesod, not Hoyd, not Tiferet, not Netzach, not the lowest sphere. And they were burnt. They were consumed. So he says, Madach Malchus is exposed. And that translates in your end. That means you cease to exist. So when my real self is exposed, forget about it. They, the people in that world, they can get my real self. They can get my real self. Even if it's my Aktana of Sarfon. Because the higher worlds, and this is the real paradox, the higher worlds are a yerida. They're so spiritual, they're much more spiritual than we are. We are aniyim, but the poor man goes to the king because he knows nothing better. So the spiritual worlds are caught up in the God, in the levushim. They're caught up in it. It's, you can't not be caught up in it. Let's not underestimate Atzilus. You know, the Alter Rebbe could not write, the Alter Rebbe would usually not say the word Atzilus. He couldn't even write the word Atzilus. Because by the time he hit the Yud, he was in transcendental ecstasy. Because what Alter Rebbe said or wrote, he was there at the moment. He wasn't detached from anything. So when he wrote the word Atzilus, he was there. So there was no self-consciousness anymore. So how can you continue writing? You pass out. So, no, Atzilus, Aleph, Tzadik, Yud, and he would do an apostrophe above the Yud. He couldn't go further. He had to go to the next word. He had to leave it. So let's not underestimate Atzilus. But in Perek Lamed Vav, the Alter Rebbe is saying it's a Yerida. Atzilus is caught up. It's so excited about what it has. It doesn't go further. You hear the most beautiful divine music. Where are you going? Chach me bina das chesed divine iuve chayei chadiv garmayi chanat the Kabbalah puts it. He's one with his midrash, so it gets caught up. Our world is not caught up with anything because we don't give a hoot about divinity. We're not caught up with anything. So when we go to the king, you go to the king because you don't know about anything else. So you go to the essence of the king. So the Alter Rebbe says, Allah Bert Sinai, to have Nachas Ruach from the darkness becoming a dira. Because here there's no Yerid anymore. Here the very essence that was exposed before creation, and which is true now too, can be revealed here. This world can it can happen to this world. And that's also, the Alter Rebbe explains elsewhere in a discourse of 1805, Tavkuf Samachay, why the sages used the term dira, a home. Why a home? There's a lot of places where people are present. You can be in a field, you can be in your office, you can be in your factory, you can be in school, you can be on a plane, you can be in the subway, you can be in the store. But all of these places are homes for a certain aspect of the person. In your field, you're there as a farmer. In your office, you're there as a CEO. In your factory, you're there as a laborer. In your school, you're there as a professor. In the subway or on the plane, you're there as a passenger. And in the store, you're a customer. But where are you? Where are you? Where's the person himself? Catch him at home. At home, in your bedroom, the home solicits, the home welcomes your essence. No masks. There you can be vulnerable. You don't have any profession. You don't have any role. It's you as you are in your deepest level. Hashem wanted a dira b'tachtayinim. Hashem wanted to be vulnerable. Kivayachal. And where can he be vulnerable? In our world. There he can be without garments. In the higher worlds, they're stuck in their thing. He's too big there. He's too awesome there. So the celebration of divine vulnerability is experienced only in a world like ours. If I may use an irreverent word, it's only in this world where Hashem can chill out. As in his own home. There's no inhibitions, there's no garments.
Can I ask a question?
One second. So that's why, once after Rosh Hashanah, the Alter Rebbe turns to his son, the Mittler Rebbe, and he says, "Nu bedel mitvasas to gedavent Rosh Hashanah." With what did you daven Rosh Hashanah? Which means, what were the meditations that characterized your Rosh Hashanah prayers? So the Mittler Rebbe said, "I prayed meditating on the concept of a chal kaima lefanecha tishtacheva. Every, even the highest beings should prostrate themselves before you." That even parts of the Ak, which is one of the highest Kabbalistic levels, parts of the Adam Kadmai, the highest levels of primordial man, is totally nullified and subservient to the essence of Hashem. Then he says, Tata, the Mittler Rebbe turns to the Alter Rebbe and says, Tata, Father, mitvasos du gedavent. With what did you daven Rosh Hashanah? And the Alter Rebbe responded, mitin shtender. I davened with my shtender. The thing you hold it daven. I davened with the shtender. It wasn't just an anecdotal play on words. Ich gedaven mit dem shtender, because it's a tachtoin. So here is the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose lay in the physical world. The whole evolution is here to produce this world. Atzilus, Briya, Yetzira, spiritual Asiya is a Yerida. It's not the real thing. So what do you need it for? You're creating the world to compromise the truth. But here, Hashem wanted a Jew should come into this world that's totally dark and should transform this world and reveal the true essence, make it a home for what it really is. Make it a home for Hashem. And here it can become a home without any garments, where Hashem is totally conspicuous. This is the first phase in the explanation of chapter 36 in continuation of 35. The continuation of it, Alter Rebbe will discuss in the continuation of 36. This is Pshat to conclude with something contemporary for this evening, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. When Adar emerges, when Adar enters into the world, we increase in joy, as the Gemara says. So the Degel Machan Ephraim, a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, explains, Mishenichnas Aleph Dar. Aleph Dar, when the Aleph, Aleph is the master, Alufoy Shel Olam, which is Hashem. Dar is a home, a dira, a dwelling place. Mishenichnas Aleph Dar. When the Aleph enters into the Dar, into his dira, Marbim Besimcha, this creates the greatest joy. Have a great week and a good Chodesh.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.